Welcome back to the Political Checklist here on the Rundown blog. I'm political editor David Chalian, joined as always by senior correspondents Judy Woodruff and Gwen Eiffel. Good Monday to you ladies.
Good Monday.
The big event in the Republican race for president this week is going to be Rick Perry unveiling his flat tax proposal. He actually did a mini unveil of it last week, saying it's coming. I want everyone to know about that. And so tomorrow in South Carolina, he will unveil this proposal. He got the endorsement of Steve Forbes, famous for the flat tax, today, and I think Steve Forbes will be there sort of validating for tomorrow. But my question is, Judy, we saw Steve Forbes pursue this in 1996 and 2000. What is different about the current climate? It clearly didn't work for Steve Forbes then. Why do you get a sense that the Perry folks want to go down this road now?
Well, first of all, he's late to be coming out with an economic plan. Mitt Romney's been calling for him to do this for some weeks now. He wants to make a splash. He wants to do something that people are going to talk about. It's going to bring him attention. His campaign has been struggling, and so he's looking for a way to be a player, to be a factor. You're right. The flat tax has never really gotten achieved liftoff in political because inevitably it leads to a more regressive system, which means folks in the lower and middle class. Income earners are the ones who get hit. The Republican debate over this hasn't gotten to that point yet, so it's fraught in many ways, but it starts out as something people are excited about, the idea of reforming the tax system, and this is Rick Perry's way of saying, hey, I want to do that.
Rick Perry has to get into this game somehow on tax reform. That is the game now. To what degree you trash the tax code, you reform the tax code. Reforming tax code has now become the code for everybody. So he's trying to get in the game. He's trying to get in the game in some ways the way that Herman Cain did, which is the simplicity idea. People love the idea that there's a quick, easy, not quick or easy, but a explainable way.
Seemingly quick and easy
way of getting us out of this box. That's part of it. Now, the only question is, I don't remember how many votes Steve Forbes got when he ran for president, so I'm not certain what the weight is of that, but the name Forbes certainly has to have some sort of heft in the financial community.
Unlike Steve Forbes, Rick Perry, though he's doing really well in fundraising, his dollars are finite.
Yeah.
It's not just reform. The thing we hear from the candidates over and over and over again is flatter. So there's been that fair tax movement, very popular in Iowa. That was Mike Huckabee sort of grabbed onto that the last cycle, and then that's been rejected. Mitt Romney did not put a flat tax idea into his proposal that he rolled out. Herman Cain's proposal that you mentioned is coming under for more and more scrutiny, the way Judy just mentioned that once you start looking at these things.
As will this one. As will this one. You put it out, it sounds good, but frankly, any kind of vetting always begins to show why things are not so simple.
And Romney has said that he would look at a flat tax, but he would not want to raise taxes on the middle class. And
right.
if you look at a tax that, if it's going to be a flat tax, it means the wealthy are going to have a bigger tax cut than those in the middle income bracket.
There's no way around that.
There's no way around that.
Right. And that's what you're saying is it's fraught with political danger. So the president is out doing a Western swing again for fundraising in California and Nevada and Colorado. But today we learn that we have finished up with pass this bill. And we have moved on to We Can't Wait. And it's these smaller executive actions that he's going to try to take.
Wow, where have we seen that before? Could it have been Bill Clinton? Remember school uniforms? The idea when you can't get the big thing passed is to try to peel off pieces. So first he said, Congress, go and just pass pieces of my jobs bill. And they said, I'm not really feeling that. So he's going to go down. He's going to then campaign on pieces of his economic recovery.
So is this
plan.
A concession that he could not get his agenda through Congress?
I think he conceded that some time ago, but he's blaming Congress for it, not himself. He's not conceding that he failed. He's conceding that they failed. So he goes to California to raise some money. Then he goes to two states, which could be a really deciding factor, Nevada and Colorado. He hopes, in the next election.
But, Judy, unlike school uniforms, he's actually saying this is stuff that we need to do to fix the economy, right?
So the issue is huge. I mean, back then, Bill Clinton was looking for ways to connect with the voters he was trying to appeal to. Right now, Obama is trying to say, hey, I know the economy's bad. I'm doing everything I can. Congress won't go along with me, but here are some things that I can do on housing.
But can these things really fix the economy?
On student loans.
No.
These are little things that are around the edges, but it does, at least there's an air of energy and motion. and that's what the image they want to convey.
And bragging rights. You want to say that even if nothing happens, it's not my fault. I'm the guy who tried.
Okay. His running mate, Joe Biden, was out over the weekend and did an interview with Candy Crowley at CNN. He was up in New Hampshire, actually. They taped the interview, and he was asked about whether or not he would close the door on 2016, assuming that Barack Obama gets reelected. He would not close the door. Can you guys picture a 73-year-old Joe Biden somewhere in Delaware on election night 2016?
Ronald Reagan was 69 when he first moved into the president, the White House. So that's
73 years older
than 69. Living longer, baby boomers are living a long time.
He's in great shape.
I'm not going to criticize somebody for being old.
But do you believe that he is seriously? Do we think that he is seriously an option for 2016?
You know, 2016 is far away. I think we've just now gotten past the point where we have stopped the rumor that he's not going to be on the ticket in 2012. So let's just deal with one cycle at a time.
Despite David's best efforts to get us to do otherwise, David.
I think he's trying to avoid this kind of distracting conversation.
Bad David. Yeah, bad exactly. David.
Well, he doesn't want to be a lame duck.
That's right. That does it for this edition of The Checklist. Be sure to click us on again right here next week. Thanks for watching.